gotcha. Welcome to the Village Oak Tree for October 30th. I'm your host, Terrence O'Donnell, and I thank you for spending a little more time with me again this week. I have more stories, new stories, that may get someone's attention a little as this week. I've got stories from Europe, U.S., and Iceland. I have a couple of climate change news stories that we should pay attention to, some stories about Western Europe with regard to the war in Ukraine, and I have a little talk about the upcoming U.S. elections next week. And then to wrap things up, I've got another chapter from The Priest to read to you. More of Michael Campy's dystopian future story about what the collapse of the United States would look like from a first-person's perspective. So, to start with, I picked up an article in Reuters a few days ago about volcanic activity in Iceland. Most people may remember the eruptions from August of this year and the big one back in 2010 that closed off airspace in Western Europe for about a week. The main point of the article and the scientists who study these things is whether global warming will have an even larger impact on the world's volcanoes in the near future. They're worried that with all the glaciers melting now, this will take the weight off the magma flows under these volcanoes around the world, like in Iceland, Chile, and even the Antarctic. It's an interesting article with lots of good pictures in it. I remember when that volcano erupted back in 2010 and how it affected the global northern hemisphere. Planes were rerouted all over the world to avoid the huge cloud drifting eastward into Europe. If these glaciers keep melting as fast as they are, the world may see a lot more disruptive volcano eruptions in the next few years, and not just in Iceland. Chile has got some very active volcanoes in the Andes. The United States still remembers Mount St. Helens from 1980 that blew up and killed a few people. If the ice pack in the Antarctic should melt enough, the scientists predict some possible eruptions from down there that could melt the ice even faster, raising sea levels significantly around the world, Especially in the global south. The bottom line is that global warming may very well change the landscapes of places around the world in more ways than just economics. If Iceland has another major eruption or several, it could dramatically change the geography there and have even more effect on Western Europe than what happened in 2010. If any volcanoes in the Andes erupt again, there could be another environmental catastrophe. Lots of people dying, like when Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines blew up in 1991, burying huge swaths of the countryside in ash and mud. The global warming affects more than just agriculture. It also has a major effect on the earth under our feet as well. Which brings me to my next news article from Inside Climate News, how the fossil fuel companies are making tens of billions in payments to foreign governments over oil patches and stiffing the U.S. government in taxes legally due to the subsidies and tax laws. The oil industry is required to report any payments they make to foreign governments to the Securities and Exchange Commission per U.S. law. The payments they are reporting show a massive difference in payments to other countries compared to the payments for oil in the U.S. What this shows is that the U.S. is letting the oil industry off the hook for taxes and other payments, while rich oligarchs make their money all over the world. Other countries are making them pay through the nose, but the U.S. government, not so much. All at the expense of the American taxpayers. The American taxpayers are subsidizing the oil industry, and the oil industry is paying off their political benefactors while the working class suffers from lack of help when weather disasters hit, among other things. You know, little things like homelessness, hunger, medical services, education, and such. Basic things that all the other developed countries of the world do for their people, or at least try. I will admit that some of these countries who offer universal health care are struggling with that today, Canada and Britain being at the top of that list right now. But why? But still, why is the U.S. government letting these oligarchs get away with all this? That is a rhetorical question, as we all know why. Graft and corruption. Which isn't going to change come next January. I'm not going to get into that today, but other than to say that Trump has been saying for a couple of years what he will deliver as president right out in the open. His latest rally this weekend in Manhattan, New York, was apparently all about misogyny, racism, and outright corruption. To add more fuel to that fire, Republican Speaker of the House Mike Johnson is telling reporters that if Trump is elected, Obamacare will go away, as they have a plan. Trump has stated that he wants to send health care back to the states to manage. The Republicans want to return health care back to a free market system, which anyone with half a brain knows that the price of health care would jump through the roof. If they repeal the Affordable Care Act and send health care management back to the states, imagine what health care would look like in states like Alabama, Ohio, Idaho, Mississippi, Louisiana, and so on, so-called poor red states. Harris, on the other hand, is trying to court the Muslims in Michigan with little success. She doesn't get it, and it may cost her the election. We all know what she needs to do to get the Muslim vote, but it may be too late for that now. But she may also lose some of the mainstream blue-collar workers as well, who used to vote Democrat in the past. Her number one issue is that she has little to no plan to boost the economy, no plan to bring back jobs to the U.S. manufacturing sector, other than to put a cap on grocery prices. That's all I've heard so far. Do you care if the government places a price cap on the groceries in the stores? That is of little value if you get laid off from your job and can't find another one quickly, or at least one that pays a living wage anyway. There are plenty of hiring signs in my community, but they are mostly for the fast food restaurants and other low-paying part-time jobs that no one can afford to take. The United States is in big trouble economically, and neither candidate is talking about it. It just goes to show you where their priorities are, and they aren't with the working-class voters. Meanwhile, apparently the pre-election shenanigans are already starting ahead of the election day. In Washington State and Oregon, early voting ballot boxes are being found and set on fire. Is this a lead up to more serious disruptions to look forward to between now and next Wednesday, the day after Election Day? There are already rumors circulating that the MAGA people are going to sue the crap out of anyone and everyone that may have anything to do with Trump not being elected again. Will there be riots and intimidation squads deployed to voting precincts around the country next Tuesday? I know in my precinct, in the county I live in, they were talking a while back about putting sheriff's deputies at all the polling precincts. You know, I'd be interested to see if that's going to work out. As I move to Europe with the rest of the news articles I found, I'll lead off with one more about Trump. In an article from RT News, which is from Russia, Trump states that if he's elected again, he will end the war in Ukraine quickly and make the cleanup of UK the EU's problem. The U.S. won't offer a dime to help with the mess they created. Doesn't this sound like classic Donald Trump? This from the president who wanted to back out of NATO because the other countries weren't willing to pay their fair share of their mandated 2% GDP on their military. Poland is stepping up now with expanding their military spending on an Iron Curtain wall to be erected on their eastern border to keep out immigrants and others from coming across from Belarus and other Russian allied countries in the region. They have often complained about having to take care of the Ukrainian refugees in the last couple of years. They're starting construction now and plan to have that iron wall completed by 2028. Germany is even in even more trouble this week. Volkswagen is closing three factories over lost revenues. Rheinmetall is opening materials factories in Ukraine, which Russia is now declaring legitimate military targets. German Chancellor Scholz's challenger to the chancellorship, Friedrich Merz, is stating that Germany's government is too afraid of Russia to send more money and arms to Ukraine. So what part about the failing German economy does this man not understand? Neither Germany or any of the other NATO countries can no longer afford to support the war with Russia. Scholz understands this a little bit, but the other idiots, apparently not so much. Maybe a trip to the Eastern Front will shake them up a little bit and make them see some reason. Then there's the latest news about the recent parliamentary elections in a little country nestled next to Russia and Ukraine. The pro-Russian government party, Georgia Dream, won by 54%, according to the vote count. But everyone in the West is screaming foul, from the Georgian prime minister to Washington, D.C. As you know, I think it was the Georgian president, not the prime minister. And as of yesterday, Georgia's election officials are going to start a partial vote recount to satisfy all of the naysayers. Meanwhile, the United States is in on it too, saying, oh, cry foul. You know, it's like the Americans, you know, living in a glass house as far as this is concerned. This is another classic example of the West, particularly the U.S., interfering in another sovereign country's elections because they didn't like the results that were not in their favor. When will the United States empire managers learn that this is not good for their country? They need to stay out of other people's business and start attending to their own, or they won't have a country left to support their empire anymore. The West is finally confirming that there are North Korean troops on the ground in Western Russia near the conflict areas. This has been in the news for a few days now, ever since South Korea tattled on the North Koreans last week. Russia says these 10,000 troops are there for training, nothing more, yet. What better way to get some field training than by visiting and observing an ongoing war? Whether they will end up participating is still up in the air. So far, North Korea's contribution to this war has been to provide a few missiles. Whether these North Korean troops are going to actually engage in battle is another question. As of today's news, the United States is saying that Ukraine can kill all the North Korean troops they can get their hands on if they cross the border into Ukraine. Well, you know, if Russia's smart, they won't let that happen. On the other side of the Western Russian border, the West has seen a fair share of Western mercenaries killed for Ukraine in the last couple of years. RT just posted a story this week with a video of a dead American with a 75th Ranger Regiment tattoo on his arm. Was he one of those ex-military solo mercenaries or something else? There's another story about all the Western weapons being found on the battlefields by the Russians. Is there more to this than the Pentagon is letting on? Ukraine is on its last legs militarily, so Russia doesn't need the North Koreans, unless the West starts to do something else to escalate things beyond where they are now. Say, allowing long-range missiles to be launched deep into Russia? That's still a big question mark right now. Apparently, the Germans are still hashing that out. The Poles are apparently all for it, except they don't want to send any of their soldiers to Ukraine to shoot them off, something the Germans are arguing about right now. There are rumors that the Americans and some other NATO member troops have been killed and wounded by Russia because they were on the ground in Ukraine operating missile radar systems and other data gathering equipment. Of course, the U.S. will never admit this before the election next week. Maybe ever, unless some intrepid reporter files a Freedom of Information request some years from now and the world finally learns the truth. By then, the world would have moved on and no one would care beyond the Gold Star families. In my last story this week, I picked this one from Reuters this morning. China is commenting that Donald Trump, based on old and recent statements made, that Trump may discard Taiwan unless they want to pay for protection. Now, I view statements like that as quotes from an old mafia movie from Hollywood. In other words, basically telling Taiwan, you want the United States help, you got to pay for that. Apparently, Trump doesn't like the idea of Taiwan stealing all the chip industry from the U.S., so he may stop supporting unconditional defense support for Taiwan. It says in the article that the U.S. is obligated to help Taiwan to defend itself by law. So, you know, so what? But then, when has Donald Trump ever cared about laws unless they favor him? With stories like this, it's no wonder all these authoritarian regimes like Israel, China, North Korea, and maybe Russia are secretly or not favoring a Trump presidency. If Trump should win, it looks like a new world order may come about over the next 4 years or more, and not necessarily in a good way. I hope I've given everyone who is listening to this something to think about as the U.S. is heading for the home stretch before elections next week. I may hold off on doing a show next week because of all that. I have to work on Tuesday, Election Day, which is usually a 15-hour day for me. I know this because I've been working elections in my county for the last 2 years, and every one of them has been at least a 12 to 15-hour day. I'm not looking forward to next week, and I'll be very glad when it's all finally over, no matter who wins. It really doesn't matter anymore because the U.S. is screwed no matter who wins next week. So I'm gonna ask you to stay tuned as once again I read you another chapter from The Priest, the ongoing saga of Bob, who's trying to survive the collapse of the United States. And before I read that story, let me play you my little advert here for a couple of minutes, and I'll get everything ready for you. I want to take this minute to explain how you can support this podcast and to advertise my book. This podcast is free and can be found on all these major mobile podcast apps, on my YouTube channel, Crown of Beha, as you can see, and my Substack page. Also, Crown of Beha, the Tree of Life. To help defray my cost, I'm asking for donations of any amount. I decided that I would rather ask for donations instead of charging subscriptions, so everyone has an opportunity to watch or listen to this podcast everywhere in the world. So I've set up donation pages, and here I have it on the RSS.com page where you can find this podcast, and you can find on my website. I have a donations page on the Crown of Beha website, and then it's just a open page, and then all of these are linked to PayPal for your security. This way you can use any currency you wish from around the world, providing PayPal is available to you. Now, let me tell you about my book. Fugitives in the New United States, which can be found at major online book retailers around the world in hardcover, paperback, and ebook version. If you don't want to wait for them to print you one, you can also buy a hardcover or a paperback edition from me directly through the bookstore page on my website, and I'll ship it right out. This is a dystopian fiction about what the United States might look like by 2031 under an authoritarian theocratic government. It's full of drama, action, and romance written at a young adult level. Set against a backdrop of societal collapse, the story follows a trio of resistance fighters as they navigate across Upper New England in their quest to escape from an authoritarian regime. So, I appreciate everyone for tuning in. Appreciate any support you want to offer, no matter how small. Thank you once again. So welcome back. As I said, now it's time to share another chapter from The Priest. The Priest, formerly known as Bob, Part 15 by Michael Campy. The Long and Winding Road. Why do journal entries always end up having the names of songs? Maybe that could be a theme. I'll just title all the entries with the names of songs that I remember. In the before world, I would always have a hard time leaving the house. I would find a reason to delay departure, or I would keep going back after I left to check things like, did I leave a pie in the oven? I actually did that once, but it stayed with me and gave me many years of service as a reason to go back home after I left. If I was going to be gone for a few days or a week, I would sometimes leave and then go back a half a dozen times to check on things like, were all the doors locked and did I turn off the coffee machine? One time, and this was the worst, I drove 60 miles before I started thinking that I left the AC on and drove all the way back to check it. I never really left anything on as it was mostly a function of how much or how little I wanted to leave the house. So it could be I'd go back once if I wasn't too nervous or anxious about leaving, up to 3 to 5 times if I really didn't want to go at all. Here we are. I'm going to let the kids sleep for another hour or so until it's darker and a little cooler and they will head out. Kind of wish I could still check AccuWeather and see what it's like in Flagstaff. As it is, I'll just have to guess that it's a little cooler than here, but maybe not by much. This is the trip that I really don't want to make, but there really will be no pie in the oven excuses for coming back. We'll just have to keep going and let the pies burn along with the rest of the desert southwest. It's time. Hey, kid. No answer. Kid, I said a little louder. Still no answer. I walked over and pulled the blanket off him. He turned over and looked at me. Get up, kid. It's time to go. Who? He said. What do you mean, who? I don't know who this kid person is that you keep yelling at. The fuck are you talking about? Well, we went through the whole process and decided on a name for me. So So why don't you call me by that name? You want me to call you Tiki? Yes. I still think it's a weird name for a kid. I like it. Only weird celebrity parents ever name their kids stuff like Tiki. If you were Roseanne Barr's kid, I could understand it, but who's Roseanne Barr? She had a TV show. Oh, I still want you to call me Tiki. Yeah. All right. Let's go, Tiki. Okay. We had packed a cart the day before, and it was ready to go, so he got dressed. I gave him something to chew on, and we headed down the hill. I couldn't remember if anyone had ever made chew toys for kids. I guess they must have. I thought that might have been a good idea, but finally I was able to accept that none of my good ideas were ever going to make me any money. Oh, well, fuck it. Off we go. It was a nice night, and going down the hill wasn't all that hard. We just had to work on making sure we didn't lose control of the cart. It was going up the other side. It was going to suck. There was a place where the road crossed Oak Creek, and I thought that if it doesn't look like we're going to make Sedona tonight, that we should probably stop there because there will be some shelter beneath the bridge. But if that's as far as we got, it was going to be fucking hot. Once it started to flatten out a bit, I let the kid ride in the cart. He seemed to enjoy it after all, and I did live to make him happy. Yeah, right. I really wanted someone who would live to make me happy, but there's no chance of that happening. So I'll just have to be all priesty and altruistic and make the little fucker, Tiki, happy. We made it to the bridge by about 1 in the morning, which put us a little less than 17 miles from Sedona. It would be a stretch to get there before sunrise. But that was what we were going to do. The creek was dried up. All the trees were dead. And it would have been a damn miserably way to spend a day, so we soldiered on. If we kept going, we would be in Sedona a little after 7, and that wouldn't be too bad. The sun is up. It's not horrible yet, but the bridge idea would have sucked. There were lots of adobe-style houses in Sedona, so we picked one that looked pretty solid and checked in for the day. Grabbed a room on the bottom floor that was in the back, because it would probably stay cool most of the day. I was able to get the cart in the door, and we both lay down and almost immediately started to drift off to sleep. I heard a sound, but it was like it was coming from far away, muffled and unclear, until it wasn't. There was somebody standing in the doorway. So that's all I have for everyone this week. As I said, due to the election next week, I probably won't be doing a show on Wednesday. Simply because there's going to be too much chaos in the United States. I may just hold off and wait till everything settles down a little bit, till the United States figures out who's going to be the next president. I'm sure by the weekend they'll have something going. Meanwhile, the rest of the world, of course, is going to move on. But be honest with you, the majority of the stories around the world are all going to be about the presidential election in the United States. That's pretty much a given. So, I don't anticipate any earth-shattering news, through the weekend next week. But, I may find something. You never know. Either way, I'll hold on to it, and we'll see how it goes. Meanwhile, back at the farm here, I'll wish you a good weekend, and I'll see you again next time. Sláinte. Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed it, and you'll return again next week. Please like, subscribe, reply, and share the videos or podcast, however you watch or listen. This helps with spreading the word around the world to anyone who may have an interest. I appreciate everyone, no matter who or where you are, that cares to watch or listen to this podcast on whatever app you wish to use. As I say goodbye this week, I wish to leave you with this Irish blessing as you go about your day. May the sun warm you a bit, the air be as fresh as after a spring rain, and the birds be singing to you on their way up the lane. Slán go fóill.